Very quickly, let's remind ourselves, why study miracles? We are not simply, ooh, that's really cool that he did that then and there, right? Why study miracles? They are patterns of the good and wonderful things he would like to do in our lives. He is the same God yesterday, today, tomorrow, and for always. And if he did marvelous things in the past, he will do marvelous things today. But there is always an offering, an ask. The error of miracles was taught to us by what wasn't a miracle. The translation of the gold plates was a miracle. And Oliver Cowdery tried. He tried to participate in that miracle, and he failed. Do you remember why he failed? Do you remember why there was no miracle on that day for Oliver Cowdery? What did the Lord say, Jessica?
All he did was ask.
There was something you didn't do. There was a price to be paid that wasn't paid. Now, here's the thing. It's usually patterns of the price to be paid, patterns of the miracle. And so you need to relax your eyes a little bit and put your situation into the situation that we're talking about. I'm going to try and present these as patterns. Today is very much a pattern of miracles I see all the time. And I want you to begin to recognize in that pattern, I am in need of that miracle. And I'm beginning to recognize what the ask is for that miracle. So don't play the Oliver Cowdery mistake. Don't fail to do what qualifies us for the miracle. Now, let me testify in advance, what he asks of us and what he gives to us is grossly out of proportion. So we ought to be willing to at least do all that we can. So let me set up today's miracle, and you tell me when you're in this situation. I want to start with William Shakespeare, if that's okay. William Shakespeare wrote a play called The Merchant of Venice. And there is an absolutely beautiful line in The Merchant of Venice. Portia is going to marry Lord Bassanio. And she sees him one day and says, "You see me, Lord Bassanio, where I stand, such as I am. Though for myself alone, I would not be ambitious to wish, in my wish, to wish myself much better. Yet, for you, I would be troubled 20 times myself, 1,000 times more fair." How many times have you wished you were more for him? I wish I were so much more for him. Not for myself, but for him. Today we're going to talk about the miracles of multiplication. Tell me a situation where you would love to be multiplied or see a multiplication. I would love a miracle of multiplication. Becky is what? Tell me your calling. I am a teacher of grown-up women, and that's a little intimidating. And for every gospel doctrine teacher, for every institute teacher, for everyone who takes it upon themselves to teach his gospel, what do we all say? I wish I would be troubled 1,000 times myself better for his sake. Give me others. Give me other situations where I wish I were better than I am for the Lord's sake. A calling in the church is a good one. Jessica?
That's like the only one that, well, comes to mind, but just like working with kids, anything.
Okay, how about father and mother? There is a haunting moment in the Book of Mormon where Jesus calls for the children and then groans. He calls for the children and then groans over the wickedness of the house of Israel. And putting myself in that situation, I know he's not throwing me under the bus. This is a commentary, though, on the children. As he's holding the children and looking at the parents, he groans. And sometimes I picture Jesus holding my children, looking at me and saying, oh. Again, it's not throwing me under the bus as much as it's how much he loves that children. And I often say, but for their sake, I wish I were 1,000 times better. I want to be the best father I can be. There's a great multiplication miracle I'm seeking. Mother, father.
I also think when you share your testimony,
testifier.
It's kind of like teaching the lesson. You stand up there and you're like, what the heck? I don't feel like I am worthy enough to share my testimony because I can't share all of these things that I believe in.
Yeah. I'm crippled by language, and who am I to testify of his gospel? Why in the world would they care what I said? I wish I could multiply my ability as a testifier. Do you see how many opportunities? Okay, now let me push a little bit. Those are us on the giving end. Give me an example of a miracle of multiplication I seek on the receiving end. I wish I could open up the scriptures and pull more out. I would like to multiply my understanding of his words. Oh, how I wish I could multiply my understanding of his words. You see, all of the, if you start relaxing your eyes, you begin to see, wait a minute, this miracle is far more commonly needed than I thought. Jessica.
I wish I could only sleep for 7 hours, 8 hours, have the energy of 12.
Now, I laugh at that, but has he promised physical increase for certain situations? Hey, Madison, how are you today? So the miracle of the increase, I can, if you relax your eyes a little bit, you begin to see, all right, I am seeing the need to seek the miracle of multiplication. So let's get to the miracle. We're going to use a miracle of multiplication as a pattern. Again, it's not, you got to see you in here. And I can't tell you what the ask is. I can show you the pattern of the ask. And you and the Holy Ghost have to, well, the Holy Ghost doesn't have to figure out. You have to figure out by means of the Holy Ghost, what is the ask in order to qualify for the multiplication miracle. Let me just show you the pattern. All right, we're going to use Matthew chapter 14, Mark 6, and John 6 if you want to find them and have them already. Mostly we'll be in John 6. That's our root scripture, but there are two pieces we'll need to pull in from Matthew 14 and Mark 6. And this is the miracle of feeding the 5,000. So turn with me to John chapter 6. Now, unfortunately, the way this TV works is I cannot have them all open at the same time. So I'm going to have to flip. Bear with me as I flip. But here is the miracle. Verse 4, the Passover, a feast of the Jews was nigh, and Jesus lifted up his eyes. So Passover brings a lot of people to Jerusalem, right? 3 times a year you had to go to the temple. This is one of them. So every Jew from all over comes to Jerusalem, and clearly they've heard of Jesus, and he's there in Jerusalem, and they're curious, and so they go out to listen. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? How in the world can we feed all these people? Now, there we begin to see the problem. How can I spiritually feed all these people with just this group of people? Or that one? Or that missionary? How can I do my work? How can I feed? so many. Now, let me do a comparison. Philip, who was being tested, notice he said, as a test, this was a test, because he knew what he would do. But Philip answered 200 penny worth. Now, there's a parable in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 20, the laborers in the vineyard, if they worked from sun up to sundown, they would be paid a penny. So imagine working all day long, that amount of money, times 200. That's a lot of bread. If we bought 200 penny worth of bread, it would only barely give everyone what? Okay, so part of what I want to do today is contrast the lack of the world's ability to perform the multiplication miracle and contrast that with Christ's ability to multiply and feed. 200 penny worth. So can I just say it this way? The world's best effort would do what to solve the problem? A little. Now again, I don't mean to throw anyone under the bus, but the world's solutions to our problems. I think we should take advantage of doctors and medicine. I think we should take advantage of the world's solutions, but we need to understand the limitation. At best, the world's solution will bring a little change. But there is a source of greater change. 200 penny worth would barely give everyone a little. Now, this is where John skips something that we need to collect from other writers. So let's go to Mark. Mark 6, Mark's account adds the next piece. After he says, I'd like to feed these people, we don't have enough. I'm not enough. Here's the ask. Now, I would pray, relax your eyes a little bit, and this is where the Holy Ghost needs to help you understand the cost of the miracle. Jesus then says, so let me catch up to speed. Give them to eat. Give them to eat, and this is where Philip says, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give it to them? It would only give them a little. So tell me the ask. Lord, I would like to be more. I would like to be a better father. I would like to be a better husband, a better missionary, a better teacher, a better disciple. What's the ask? What do you have? That is the pattern. How many loaves have ye? Tell me what you see here. Tell me what you see here in the ask. What version of what do you have? Let's take the teacher. I'd like to be a better teacher. What's the ask? What do you have? What can you do? Now, for example, here's an example. Nephi is supposed to build a boat. Now, was Nephi born in an area where boat building was common? Does he know how to build a boat? That's a skill set he doesn't have. So in essence, what did the Lord ask him, and what was Nephi's first attempt? How does Nephi solve the problem I can't solve?
He put forth effort and faith in what he had.
What is step one? I don't know how to build a boat, but I know how to do what? I know how to build tools. Right? How do you start the journey of being a better father? Being a better missionary, being a better... I am going to offer him all that I have. I'm not going to slacken what I bring to the table. I am going to give him all that I have. What, how many loaves have ye? Now, we need Matthew here. So the second part of that, how many loaves have ye? I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but now go to Matthew chapter 14. And what was the answer? When he says, how many loaves have we? And they figure out how much they have. Tell me what the second ask is. Becky?
Bring them
to me. Offer what you have to me. Give me the very best in you. It may be insufficient. It may not be enough. But give me the... Don't hold back because you can only do a little. What little you can do, freely give it to him. Give him all that you can. There's the ask. There's the Oliver Cowdery mistake, is when we just think he'll multiply us without offering him all that we can. If I'm a Sunday school teacher and I want his help, I better be doing what? I have scriptures. I can read them. I have lesson plans. I have thoughts. I'm going to do all that I can do. I offer the Lord all that I have. Now, I love what they had. And this is why I think John wrote. Normally, John does not include what Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We call those Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John the synoptic gospels, which means same. They often tell the same stories. John usually tells different stories. It's almost as if John has their records and only writes what they didn't include. It's rare that John writes also tells a story that they told. But this is one of them. This is a story that all four Gospels tell. And I wonder if it boils down to two words. According to Matthew's account, what did they have? Five loaves and two fishes. According to Mark's account, this is Mark 6, what did they have? Five and two fishes. How many loaves have ye? Five and two fishes. Now, Luke's account is Luke 9. I'll turn there if you don't want to, but Luke chapter 9 is Luke's account. And the question is, how many do you have? And the answer was... sorry, I missed it. Here it is. And the answer was in verse 14, verse 13. We have no more but five loaves and two fishes. Now turn to John, and I think this is so significant. According to John's account, what did they have? And notice how it's different. And maybe this is why John wrote when Matthew, Mark, and Luke had already written. What did they have?
Five.
Anyone had a barley loaf of bread lately? Why do you make that face, Becky?
They're itty bitty, really dry, tiny. Like they're tiny and they're not very good.
Barley is a nasty grain. What do we make out of barley in our society? And beer. Barley is a nasty grain. Why would we make bread out of barley? It's cheap. Barley grows where wheat doesn't. Barley grows in very arid, dry areas. Barley is cheap bread. What can Jesus do with barley? Now, how many people check themselves out because they see themselves as simply barley? How many people quit and give up because I'm just barley? There's the ask. There's the leap of faith. There's the leap of hope. And there's the ask. Lord, all I am is barley, but I have faith that he can turn barley into a feast. I offer him all that I have, even if it's barley bread. And what's the other word? Too small. Do you see the addition? I wonder if the reason John wrote is to add that element. 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But Lord, they're yours. I give them freely to you. Now, here's where I would invite you to ponder. What does it mean to offer your barley loaves to Christ? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you don't study, you don't ponder, you don't prepare, you walk into the class and assume that he will just naturally multiply you. You've cheated him. And why did you cheat him? Because you saw yourself as simply a barley loaf and never offered it to him. My question for you to ponder when you seek a multiplication miracle is, what more can I offer? He doesn't ask for something that you aren't and can't do, but he does ask for what you are and can do. Can I ask a painful question? Have you ever sought his multiplication but held back on your part and didn't fully offer what you could? There's the Oliver Cowdery mistake. All he asks is, give me what you have. Give it to him. And that may mean putting a little bit more extra effort into it. But don't check out because you see yourself as barley. The miracle. Jessica, you had your hand almost up. You were going to say something. Okay. Okay. So let's get to the miracle. Please, Becky.
Real quick, I just thought of this. As you're talking about the, like, you give what you have, and how he knows what you have. He knows that you have the infinite worth, and he freely gave his infinite worth for us. And I think that's really impactful, is to see his example later in scriptures, not just in this, but to see that he freely gave everything, and we can also freely give everything, and he was benefited through it.
Yeah.
And we can be benefited.
Yeah, there's the beauty. There's the beauty of all of us doing this, is I give all that I have. Lord, it's yours. My time, my talent, my heart, my thoughts, my eyes, what I look at, what I ponder, where I go, what I do, I give it to you. Now, I have to earn a living. I got to go to work. But all that I can, I give to you. And the Lord says, it is enough. In fact, I love what he does. Tell me what he does. This is a beautiful moment between the two of you. Tell me what he first does. He is oh so grateful. He is so grateful. I just think that's such an important element to hear him. Thank you for the effort. Bryce, thank you for the effort. I can see you didn't have a lot of time. I can see you had a lot on your plate and there just wasn't a lot of time. I started teaching seminary as a part-time job when I'm senior in college. I have a wife, a stay-at-home wife with a little girl. I have a mortgage. I'm working 3 part-time jobs trying to get a degree in advanced molecular biology. And I'm preparing seminary lessons every day. I can't tell you how many times I heard him say, I know, you didn't have a lot of time, but thank you for giving me the time that you could. Now, watch what I can do. He thanked the Lord, he blessed it, and said to the audience, take as much as you want. Not a little. As much as you want. So let me contrast. The world's best efforts will give you a little. His, as much as you want. Take as much as you want. And they did. They did. Gather up all the fragments that remain after that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them up and we gotta get one word. When they were filled. Do you see the contrast? The Lord can do his work. He can do marvelous things. He can take your meager effort, your barley bread efforts, and he can turn them and make them marvelous. He can multiply and fill. In fact, how much did he give them? I love the key words here. He said, take as much as you want. They were filled, and there remained over and above. How much can he do with what you offer him? He can bring in abundance. Now, let's turn this around a little bit. Let's look at it from a different perspective. Lord, I would like to multiply my understanding of the Scriptures. I would like to multiply my understanding of the Scriptures. What does he say? What do you bring me? Let me use an image here if I can. How big a cup did you bring me? How big of a cup did you bring me? Because I'll fill it. I'll fill it. How big a crop? Now, what happens if I say to the Lord, I would like to multiply my understanding of the Scriptures, and I bring him a little thimble. This is what my efforts are offering. I think about it once in a while. I study a little bit. Here's a thimble. Tell me what the Lord will do with the thimble. He'll fill it up. But what if I offered the Lord a bucket? What would he fill? What would he do? He'll fill it up. What do you have? How many loaves do you have? How much time? How much effort? If you don't have time, can you ponder? Can you think? Can you feel your heart? What are you offering me? Now, if you look at my honest effort to seek the Lord, can I increase what I offer him? Could I spend more time studying? Could I spend more time reading? Could I ponder more? Could I desire more? Could I offer him a bigger cup? When does the miracle come? Tell me when the miracle comes. When I offer all that I can. I would like to get more out of the temple. I would like to get more out of the temple. So what's the ask? What can you bring me? How often can you come? What could you do to prepare better? What could you do afterwards to go home and ponder what I taught you? How many loaves do you have? And then the miracle. And honestly, what could every temple experience be? If this is a symbol of what going to the temple could be, what could I walk away with? I left so much on the ground because it was overflowing. Imagine coming out of the temple, dropping loaves and fishes. What would you want to do? I got to go back and pick them up. Would you ponder this week the how many loaves have ye question? How many loaves have ye? There's always more that I could bring him. If time is not one of them, I cannot squeeze more time. Okay, what do I have? I have a car ride to work. And instead of just aimlessly listening to the radio, there are better things I'm going to listen to. That's something I can offer him. I can offer him my car ride. It's not an increase in time because I have to make that journey anyway. But I can do better with what time I have. How many loaves have ye? I think that's the question. I wanted to just go back to that imagery of the how big a cup did you bring him? On the side of the Salt Lake Temple, on the west side, right facing the tabernacle, in the center spire, is the Big Dipper. The Big Dipper is on the Salt Lake Temple. Now, there's a lot of imagery here that's really beautiful because we know the Big Dipper points to the North Star, and I love that. But I hear the Lord saying every time I go to the temple, what did you bring me? How many loaves have ye? How many loaves did you bring today, Bryce? If you brought me a cup the size of that constellation, I could fill it. What did you bring me? How many loaves have ye? Lord, I am just a barley loaf, but it's yours. With all my soul, I testify, he is able to multiply. He is able to multiply all your efforts. He is able to multiply the scriptures to increase your understanding. He is able to multiply the temple. He is able to multiply the barley loaves so that they fill and overflow. And I see that miracle repeated over and over again. But I'll be honest, I also see people who do not enjoy the multiplication because they just bring a small cup. Offer him all that you have and watch how he can fill you and fill them to overflowing. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.